Our text is short this morning. I'll read it again and do a few introductory things, and we'll get going here. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 23. The Bible says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Says it again in verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He's talking directly to the scribes and the Pharisees, whereas in verses 1 through 12, he's talking to the multitude and his disciples about the scribes and Pharisees. In verses 1 through 12, remember what Jesus said. He said that the scribes and Pharisees are false what? Teachers. They're false teachers. And he warned his disciples about false teaching, false teachers. Now, because amongst the multitude, amongst the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, are the scribes and Pharisees. They're there. He looks to them and addresses them directly. And he issues a series of woes, a series of condemnations, judgments, curses, if you would, which is what the word woe means. Now, along the way, what Jesus is doing, as we said last time in our message, is he is bringing judgment upon them because they have turned from the true and living God. Their teaching is false because they've turned away from the true word, from the true teachings. They've turned away from the true God, and now they are false teachers. We said last time that this world is backwards, and we as Christians need to learn how to go forward in a world that's going in reverse. And so this morning, I want to address some issues that we're going to see in our text about the world that's going backwards, in some specific ways in the judgments that God has pronounced upon them. Now, it might be this morning that you'll identify some of these problems in your life, but the message isn't directly pointed at you, because I would venture to say that I'm not preaching to a crowd of scribes and Pharisees, as Jesus did, or at least I hope not. I hope there's no hypocrites here. Purposeful hypocrites, you understand what I mean. False teachers. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to learn some of the ways of this world so that we can identify it, not only in our own life, but to make sure that we don't go down that path ourselves. To make sure we're not deceived. To make sure that we're not fooled by this wicked and evil world. I want to pray with you this morning one more time. And we'll start our next lesson in our series of going forward in a world that's in reverse. Going forward in a world that is in reverse. Let's pray. Father, this morning we do once again pray for your blessings upon the Word of God. As we open it, as we teach it, as we preach it, that our hearts would be in tune, that we would respond in likewise with how you speak to us. If we're a chicken that is outside of the protection of the mother, if we are a Christian who is away from the protection of a Father that loves us, God, that we would put ourselves back where we should be. This morning, help us to identify our needs, and we'll certainly give you the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Found this article. It's called "Satanic Temple Brings After-School Satan Club to Portland School." There's a really interesting little logo they have. I'm going to read this report to you. Published in Fox News, September 27, 2016, just a few days ago. The Portland chapter of the Satanic Temple has reportedly succeeded in bringing the after-school Satan Club to the elementary school within city limits. Ben Rez, one of the two heads of the chapter, told the Oregonian, which is, I'm thinking, an organization there, that this organization has been approved to begin its program, which focuses on the science of rational thinking. On October 19th, at Sacramento Elementary School, Rez previously told the chapter that most members of the Satanic Temple are atheists who see Satan as an allegory of free thought, that the program is intended to promote benevolence and empathy for everybody. Isn't that nice? The purpose, Rez told the paper, is meant to counter the Good News Club, an after-school club put on by the Child Evangelism Fellowship, a Bible-centered organization. Across the nations, parents are concerned about encroachments by proselytizing evangelicals in their public schools. Can I say that again? Apparently, I'd like to see the report on that, but he says, across the nations, parents are concerned about encroachment by proselytizing evangelicals in the public schools. Christians, in other words. Parents are really concerned about Christians in the public school. And are eager to establish the presence of a contrasting voice that helps children to understand that one doesn't need to submit to a superstition in order to be a good person or Christianity. The After School Satan Club, or the ASSC, says on its website, "Our goal ultimately is to place the ASSC in every school where the Good News Clubs or other proselytizing religious groups have established a presence." That's what it said. In August, the Satanic Temple of Seattle asked the Mount Vernon School District for permission to start an after-school program in direct response to the Good News Bible Club run by the Child Evangelism Fellowship at Centennial Elementary School. Satanic Temple of Seattle spokesman Tarkus Claypool said a parent brought the Bible Club to their attention because the parent was concerned about the club, concerned that the club was teaching children to evangelize other children, according to the Associated Press. Claypool said their curriculum teaches children logic, self-empowerment, and reasoning, and they don't worship a deity. Right. School District Superintendent Carl Brunner said in 1991, Supreme Court ruling stated that if schools allow any organization to use school property, they must allow access to all organizations, religious and secular. He said the district will explore how to respond to the application. I think we would all agree this morning that the world is heading in the wrong direction, wouldn't you say? And we allow Satanism into the schools and gladly receive it. We could, I think, agree that this world is on a decline, and it's not a good thing. It's going backwards. Now my kids, they love to play. They love to be goofy. They love, as I told you last week, they love to do very violent sort of activity things with each other, like as in fighting each other and doing ninja. And I even told you last time how they did some ninja on my laptop last week. And now the screen of my laptop looks like somebody shot it with airsoft guns. And it's just totally busted up. So, yeah, it got ninja'd. My kids also like to play running around the house, sometimes going backwards. Now you can envision, right? Kids running backwards. Eventually they're going to fall. And when you're running backwards and you fall down, it's not good. You're going to bonk your head or something's going to get hurt. Because it's dangerous when you're going backwards. And our children play that way, but whenever we are in a world that's going backwards and we fall in line with the world, then we can know that the end of this thing is not going to be good. There's going to be a fall. And it's going to be devastating. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. And it breaks my heart that so many Christians fall in line with the world as the world is in reverse. And they begin to go down that path. And in the end, we know where it's going to lead, but somehow we allow ourselves to get deceived. And we said some things about this last time that we were together that we ought to be warned. That the world is headed backwards and that we should not allow ourselves to get in the flow of things with this world because it'll hurt us. It's scary whenever you're going backwards. My dad in the truck, I remember when I was a kid, we were sitting in the seat and dad got the end of Grandma Street, which is a private road, and it's a real straight private road, no cars on the road, and he put it in reverse and he put it, you know, just to do something fun, you know, and just started going backwards down this private road at a really fast rate, which, by the way, is really dangerous. And we didn't have a wreck or anything, but I want you to know, my heart was boom, boom, boom. I mean, you're not supposed to go backwards, not at that speed. So it's dangerous to go backwards. It's dangerous to go the wrong direction. The reason why the world is going backwards is because the world's rejected God. We saw that last time in our study. The world has rejected God. These scribes and Pharisees that Jesus is addressing have rejected God. They've turned away from God. They've turned away from the protection of the mother hen, as we saw last time in our study, that Jesus said that God desired to protect them, but they removed themselves from the protection of God. And so the world has removed themselves from the place of protection. And they're judged already. They're condemned already. Yeah. Now, Jesus in our text has given a series of woes. And over and over and over again, he is saying, woe. Well, what is this word, woe? It's a word that sounds like its meaning. It's the Greek word, hoi. Hoi. So it's almost, whenever you say the word itself is the sound. It's like a gruntle sound, like a pain or an agonizing sort of word. It implies judgment. It implies condemnation. It implies a curse. And whenever you are cursed or there's a woe that's been pronounced or placed upon you, then it is associated with a certain pain. And so that's what Jesus has pronounced upon these scribes and Pharisees. He also said hypocrites. Now that word's not new to us. We know the word hypocrites. We've heard it over and over again. The word hypocrites came, now you might not know this, came from when it came to being, whenever the word was created in the first place, it was created to describe a stage actor, a performer. And it wasn't a bad word. It was actually a good word. It was a word that just simply described an actor. You had somebody who was an actor, and they were acting and they were performing. But the word later then became to lie or to deceive, because it was applied to those that were acting like something they're not, sort of like a performer. And so Jesus says, woe unto you, he pronounces judgment. Am I too loud? Is this too loud? If it's not too loud, okay, if it is, then just say something, because I don't have a sound guy. And I'll have Melissa crank it down a little bit. But I'll try not to get too loud here. I don't want to distract you with that. The message is very important. I don't want you to be distracted by it if it's too loud. So the word came to mean deceiver. It came to mean one who is acting like something that he's not. Now Jesus says, woe unto them. He curses them. And he says, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. So he calls them hypocrites because they're acting like something they're not, and he's referring to something that would be religious. It's like he said in verses 1 through 12, which this is the text following verses 1 through 12, and he's referring to them as false teachers. They're hypocrites because they are saying they have the truth. Watch, they're saying they have the truth, but they don't. They're saying they have what is the true word from God, but what they have is not the true word from God. And so what they are being is manifested as one who is claiming to be godly, claiming to be right, claiming to be good, claiming to be religious, but in fact they're not. And Jesus addresses them just exactly the way that they are. Yeah, theatrical. It's all about the show, right? They give, but they don't give unless they're seen of men. We see that. We're introduced to that in chapter 6 of Matthew. They do religious things, but they won't do it unless somebody sees them do it. Because it's theatrical. It's acting. There's nothing real about it. Okay? So he addresses them. Because whenever you have a group who is theatrical in their religion, and it's just a show, then what you have is a religious group that is organized, but it's going the wrong direction. And what we need to learn how to do is to go the right direction when the world is going the wrong direction. How do we go forward when the world is going backwards? That's what we want to know. Now, the world is going backwards, and we're going to see three ways the world is going backwards today. This isn't exhaustive. And by the way, it's not the list in its entirety. I told you last time that we're going to be doing 5 messages on this. This is only message number 2. Okay, so we're going to see 3 ways that the world is going backwards today. Now, the world is going backwards. Here's one reason why. Because the world is keeping people out of heaven. Just as Jesus addresses the false religious groups and he tells them, you are judged, you're condemned, there's a woe that's pronounced upon you because, number one, you're leading people away from heaven. You're keeping people out of heaven. Now, I want you to see that in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither shall ye, or neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So he cursed this religious group, these pretenders, because they're keeping people out of heaven. Now, to keep people out of heaven, if you think about it, that's the definition of false religion. I mean, to give something to somebody and say, hey, listen, this is going to get you to heaven, but it's not. To give somebody some information and say, if you do this, you're going to go to heaven, but you're not going to go to heaven if you do that. You see, that's the definition of false religion. To tell you you're going to have a relationship with God if you do this particular thing, but in fact, it won't give you a relationship with God. That's what they were doing. Now, we might look at these false religious groups. Now, watch this. It's not going to be a nice message because Jesus is addressing the crowd. Now, I'm not addressing you. Let's address the false religions, okay? Let's not make this something that I'm condemning anybody who's in here, but let's condemn and call the false religions what Jesus calls them, okay? He calls them out. And the definition of false religion right here is a group that tells you you're going to go to heaven if you do this, but in fact, you're not going to go to heaven if you do that. Okay? They're keeping people from heaven because they're giving them wrong information about heaven. Now, they might come to our door and knock on our door. We have some information to give to you. And they're telling you that this is how you get to heaven, but it's not. Now, we can't say these are nice folks. We can't just allow them to, you know, God bless you. You have your way, I have my way. No. Jesus said, woe unto you. There's a curse there because they're keeping people out of heaven. And we have to identify that. Now, am I saying that we should slap people along the way that do this? No. But we don't want to bless people along the way who are not teaching the truth about heaven, about relationship. And so we identify that in this world. It's not just those that are knocking on doors, by the way. There's a lot of different ways that false religion manifests itself in society because there's a lot of them out there. In the end, we can't just look at these groups and say, well, they're helping people, they're good people, they're doing good things, and just sort of go on and on and on about that. But in reality, they're not doing a good work, and they're not doing something that we would attribute to somebody being nice folks when they're giving false information about heaven. Jesus says they're keeping people from heaven. They're not going themselves, and they're keeping other people from going. Who otherwise, if they got the truth, the true gospel from the Word of God, then they would have an opportunity to go, but they're being kept from this. False spiritual leaders. And they're damning people's souls to hell. That's what Jesus said. Let's read that again, because this is such an intense thought. He said in verse 13, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Shut up. It means to close. It means you hinder them. It's like you're putting a hindrance in front of them. They can't get in because they don't have the right information. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Those that could have the opportunity to go in, you being a pretender are keeping them out, Jesus addresses. Now, he has identified this group as the scribes and the Pharisees. But how do we identify this group today? Well, there's a couple ways. Okay, now I made mention of false religions potentially knocking on your door. Whether they knock on your door or not, that's irrelevant. And there's false religion, false teaching, false teachers. It's anytime you get something that's going to tell you how you're going to get to heaven, but it's not the true gospel. That's a false teaching, and it keeps people from heaven, and that's what Jesus is addressing here. It manifests itself in the world as this article that we read just a minute ago, through groups that claim to be atheist, and one atheistic group is evolution. Now, I know that there are those that claim to be Christian and evolutionist, but those two terms are contradictory. You cannot truly, if you are educated, And I'm not calling anyone in here ignorant. I'm just saying, if you understand the definition, the real meaning of Christianity and the real meaning of evolution, then you cannot be both. You simply cannot be both. Christianity is Bible-based, and you cannot believe the Bible and evolution. Because God is the creator of all things. Paul said that very clearly in Acts chapter 17. And God demonstrated it in Genesis. Just read the first few chapters of Genesis. God is the creator. He created all things. And so evolution wasn't a process that God used. And so it's being taught today and promoted today that our existence came to be through this process called, watch, evolution. Now you say, well, wait a second, it was the Big Bang. Time out. Let's reverse. Where did the Big Bang theory come from? Now, I'm not talking about a scientist. I'm talking about the Big Bang itself. If that's how we came to be, question, where did it come from? Well, the evolutionist has to have an answer to that question. Now, that's the question we ask. Well, you know, I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in the Big Bang. Because where did that come from? Well, if they believe the Big Bang happened, apparently they have a reason why they believe that. So where did it come from? Do you know where, in the end, all of everything came from, even the Big Bang? It came from, watch this, it came from evolution itself. Evolution itself is the creator. And the more you research and the more that you study, you'll find that that's what they teach and believe. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a time when something came into existence. What was that? Evolution. That's what they teach. Now, this is a false teaching, friend. This is a false teaching. And I want you to know, this is highly promoted by the world. And the world is going the wrong direction. And you have a struggle, don't you? Because you don't understand normal. I mean, nobody. I mean, who in here is a scholar on this stuff? I mean, I've read a bunch of books about it, but I'm far from a scientist on this. And you get in a debate with somebody who knows or thinks they know about this. You don't know what to say. You're like, I don't know what to say about this. Evolution. Hey, listen, my ability to debate and conversate about this thing of evolution is very limited. Okay? Somebody begins to tell me, well, I believe in evolution. You don't know what to say to them. Here's the reality. The whole world is falling in line with this thing. I mean, almost a lot of religious organizations are falling right in line with this thing, trying to squeeze evolution through a gap theory into Genesis, making God use evolution by changing the meaning of a 24-hour day, which whenever I'd read the scripture, it seems so clear to me that the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning, that's 24 hours, right? Okay, so God tried to make it so that this wouldn't be confusing for us, yet people try to change the meaning of the word day into millions of years or billions of year or whatever. And so we have even organizations who claim to be Christian who are falling right in line with this. Why do you think that's happening? Because it's a world philosophy that's going a particular direction. And whenever you have pressure, it is hard to stand up against pressure, especially if you don't know a lot of information about this. So here's what God says. The world is going this way. False teaching about the reality of heaven and hell. And then you have what God says. And we have to trust that God. Now listen, false teaching about how to go to heaven manifests itself in a lot of different ways. I remember whenever I was a kid, I went to a church. Now watch this. When I was a kid, I went to a church and a guy had dressed up in a clown suit. And I'm sitting there, I'm a little kid, you know. I couldn't have been more than 6 years old. I don't remember, 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in there. And I remember sitting on the pew and this guy is doing, you know, tricks like clowns do. I don't know, balloons and whatever. Squeezing his nose, honk, 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 you know. And I was in it. I was like, ooh, this is awesome, you know. And then next thing I know, I'm at the front holding hands with a bunch of people. I'm just telling you what I remember. And then after it was all over, somebody told me I was saved. Okay. That's not salvation. I don't remember anything about that situation. Other than there was an amazing clown, and the next thing I know, I'm at the front holding somebody's hand. And they're telling me I'm saved. So, listen, there is plenty of religious organizations that are not teaching the truth about how to get to heaven. Okay? We have to be able to identify this stuff so that we can know not only whenever we are being taught the truth, but so that we can make sure that we are one who is teaching the truth. I said something about the clown. I remember also whenever I was a teenager, I have a severe allergy to horses, which is kind of funny anyway. Growing up, my grandparents all had horses, and you might have horses. You might say, hey, Pastor, you want to come over and ride a horse? I would love to. I'm really scared of them because I've never really ridden one in my life because I get all swollen up, and I guess the dander, I don't know what I'm allergic to about it, but I just really, it gets bad, and I get really sick. So I remember going to a church with my, with a relative of mine, and while sitting in church, they started, you know, everything really started getting going. The music's rolling, people are getting excited. Next thing we know, our hands are up, you know, and it's just, I wasn't into that. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? People are out there dancing around, you know, and that's what they did. That's what they were doing. But then my relative said, hey, listen, because they started doing some stuff where people were going forward. And then the pastor was like doing some things, and I didn't understand what he was saying. He was just jibber jabber, you know, and he was slapping people in the face, like on their heads, and they were falling down and they were jiggling on the ground. I was like, what is happening? And then my relative told me, I'm just making observation for you this morning, okay? My relative told me, I need to go forward so that I can have my allergy healed. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go forward. Now watch this. Watch this. So then my relative said, she got really mad at me, by the way, so I wouldn't go. She said, well, I'm going to go. She had these big glasses on, you know. This thing. Anyway, big glasses. She went up to the front. I need to be healed from my glasses, you know. So I don't need these glasses anymore. Did the whole thing, fell down. She still wears glasses. Okay? She still wears glasses. Listen, does that mean that I don't believe God can heal? I do believe God can heal. I believe with all my heart because He's Jehovah Rapha, which means the great healer. I am that I am the great healer. But we do not control when God heals. He is God. We are not God, He is God. Now watch this. So what do we have here? Well, we have whenever we feel like we can wield or pull in the healing power of God, then what we're doing is we're teaching something that's not true about God. Something that's not true about the power of God. And who is in control of the power of God? It's not us. It's Him. Okay? So we seek Him. And we pray, but we need to be able to, now watch this, we need to be, and again, I don't want to bring something that is going to you that's going to be distracting in a way, and distracting in any way. I just want to simply tell you that there's teaching out there that doesn't match biblical teaching. And Jesus says, in the end, when you have false teaching, you have a group that is telling you the untruth about how to get to heaven. Okay? He says, whoa, judged, condemned. Okay? Verse number 14, let's see the next one. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. That word pretense means a payment. So let's read it again and keep that in mind. They devour widows' houses, and for a payment, for a certain amount, I'll make a long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. So these men are cursed because they've demanded payment from the weak for services rendered. And I'll do something, I'll pray for you, I'll do something for you, religious, if you for a certain price. And so God has cursed them. And we can identify, can't we, easily that, you know, there's a religious sort of circle that is heading in that particular direction, and Jesus deals with it in this area. Religious organizations seeking to offer healing and answers and counsel for a price. A world that's headed in the wrong direction. A world that, for a pretense, offers answers. Last week I hiked on Tuesday 33 miles. So I was going to do 42 Grand Canyon rim to rim back. Okay, it was 42 miles, 21 miles both ways. And it's not just like walking on the, you know, across the state or something. We're talking about down into the Grand Canyon, all the way across. So it's 7 miles down, it's 7 miles across, and it's 7 miles up to the north rim. Then it's 7 miles back, down across, and back up. So I made it 16 and a half miles in, on my way up the north rim, the North Kaibab Trail, and I realized, I'm going to die if I don't turn around. I'm not going to make it. Now, I was telling Brother Jerry about this. My electrolytes were good, so I learned a lot about electrolytes, which I kept my salt, my magnesium, and my potassium was all leveled. I never cramped even one time in all 33 miles. My hip flex was killing me, though. That's why I turned around. I was like, oh, man, I need to turn around. My body, I just wasn't in good enough shape yet. You know, anyway, let's not labor on that. But on the way, there was two other people that we were riding together. One was my pastor friend that we support, Brother John Vaught, who actually did all 42 miles and passed me on the way back. That guy's ridiculous. I've never seen anybody in the shape that he's in. Anyway, let's not labor on that either. But there was a lady who came who also was very fit. And she's in her 50s. And she did it. And she passed me on the way back. So anyway, that's pretty embarrassing. But on the way down, Beth is lost. Beth's not a Christian, not a believer. And on the way, she was talking about a friend of hers who had committed suicide. And in the conversation, not really understanding why people, first of all, commit suicide, we were talking about that and sort of getting into it. And then Beth made this comment as we were talking about this. She said, you know what? People are just looking for answers. People are just looking for answers. And then she said this. She said, I think everybody's looking for answers. Now that's telling. You know why? Because what she just said by grouping everybody, she just said, I'm looking for answers too. I don't understand this life either. We live in a world that tries to fill the void. Listen, that's all these religious guys were doing. These people needed prayer. And this guy, hey, listen, you give me something, I'll pray for you. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. Devouring widows' houses. Taking from the weak, you see. They didn't just take from the weak, they took from everybody. But to devour widows' houses. And that's the opposite of what Jesus said to do. I mean, that is the exact, we're talking about polar opposites here. Jesus says, go and take care of the weak. They are devouring the houses of the weak. And they're over here, they're looking for answers. They need help, and they offer no help. They offer no answers. They just take their things and give them nothing in return. And that's what this world does. This world offers you, for a price, they'll offer you something that'll make you satisfied. Hey, listen, for this particular price, I can give you something that'll take care of you and make you feel complete. For this price, you know, you invest yourself in this particular program, in this particular sport. And so we have kids and we have young people and we have even adults that have invested themselves in athletics. Looking for answers, just like Beth. She looks from one extreme to the next extreme. Just hiked an incredible 14, over the tallest mountain in the United States. I can't remember the name of it, but you can Google it. She hiked the toppest mountain of the United States of America, all the way up. More intense than the Grand Canyon, she said. If you can imagine. Looking for a thrill, looking for fulfillment. And the world offers that, but in the end, there's no answers. There's no fulfillment in this world. And they say, well, you invest yourself in not just athletics, you invest yourself in whether it's entertainment or whether it's some sort of a alcoholic thing or drug thing. You invest yourself and it offers answers, but in the end, where does it leave you? It leaves you with no answers. It leaves you as empty as you were before. And it causes you to desire even that much more for answers. And if you feel there's no answers, then why even live? We were on our, Brother Vaught, you should have saw us after that hike. My wife laughs even today as she thinks about it. Don't laugh about this, all right? So our room is up like two flights of stairs, and where we're staying with my friend Brother Vaught. And after this hike, you should have saw me trying to walk up them stairs. I was like, one step, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then going down was even worse. I mean, it was like, oh yeah, one step, okay. Oh, number two step, all right, here we go. All the way up, all the way down for 2 days. It was horrible. I mean, it was just like, oh. Well, I went to Walmart with Nathan, his oldest son, and I'm walking through Walmart. I'm like, man, I think I'm walking normal. He's like, no, you're not walking normal. So we're having fun with that. We had to go back to Walmart because we had to do something. And in Scottsdale, in Phoenix, there's like 9 million Walmarts, okay? And there's a Walmart that's really close to his house, a Walmart that's a little bit, you know, on the other way, same distance, and then there's a Walmart that's a little bit further away. We get in the car and we're on our way, and Brother Vaught just, hey, let's go to that Walmart. We're on the way, and we're driving, we're talking, you know, and then we were going to get on the 101, but traffic was crazy, and so we just went straight, and all of a sudden we see this lady who's walking her bike, and she had a grimacing look on her face, and he said, it looks like she's crying. So he pulls into the gas station. He's like, you know, God's been working on my heart about this, to love and to care for the poor. So he got a track out. He got like $5 out. He's like, all I have is $5. So he put it in the track. You know, she's going to get the gospel, though. And so he gets out of his car, and he meets this lady who's weeping and found out that she had a bike wreck on a trail and her foot's broken. She was walking to the hospital. We're like, whoa. We throw her bike in the back of the truck. The back wheel is totally bent. She gets in the back seat. She was just moaning. If you can imagine, been walking for who knows how many miles on a broken foot. And she was moaning. And then, you know, we get her to the hospital. And we get there. And she finds out that who we are. He said, well, I pastor Northway Baptist Church. And my friend here pastors in Nebraska. Two pastors. She said, I was a Sunday school teacher for 9 years. She didn't go to church anywhere at that time. And I had no idea about this, but whenever he got her into the hospital ER and got her all situated, she said this to him, my friend Brother Vaught. She said, you know, just before you showed up, I started talking to God. And I said, why aren't you ever there for me? And then you showed up. Is that amazing? That's God. Because we weren't even planning to go to that Walmart. We weren't even planning to go that way. You know, whenever you see God work and whenever you see God move, His desire is for us to care and to love and to take care of the weak, to care for the poor. Not that we should give every time that we encounter somebody who's poor or what, but it's the opposite of the world. The world's desire is to take away, to steal from you, whereas God wants to love you and to take care of you. Okay, so we got to hurry. The next thing. Verse 15. Let's take a look at it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So Jesus cursed them because, watch this, they would go anywhere to make a disciple. They would go anywhere to make a proselyte. But here's the problem. Whenever these false teachers were making disciples, they were making people twofold, twice as lost as they were before. Now, it's interesting whenever you study out this phrase, the twofold child of hell, what we're finding here is that we are making somebody who is doubly worthy, watch this, doubly worthy of damnation. Now, why is that the case? Well, what are we talking about whenever we say hell? Well, the word hell is the word Gehenna. And the word Gehenna comes from the Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna. And it's where there was, in the beginning, whenever it first got its name, was the false religion who worshipped the false god Molech. And what they did in the false worship of Molech is they burned babies alive. and they called it the Valley of Hinnom. And it had this stench that, you know, that came to be known because not only did they burn the flesh of babies in worship of the false god Molech, they also burned refuse, and they burned their, their trash and things. And it was continuously burning. It became known as the Valley of Burning or the Valley of the Fire. And it's an illustration to say, this is an illustration of hell. And what hell is, it's Gehenna, the place of burning. Twofold child of the place of fire, of the place of burning. Why? Because they've been taught something that's not true, and now they're a proselyte to it. And whenever you teach somebody that's not true, they become zealous about this untruth. They are more zealous to teach others this untruth than the teacher was. It's the Apostle Paul in his zeal. He was very zealous in his religion, but it was wrong. And he murdered Christians. And he was very zealous. He was very zealous. And in his zeal, God showed up and spoke to him. And we know that story about the Apostle Paul. But what Jesus is saying here is we have these Pharisees and scribes that are seeking out to find one person and make them a proselyte, to make them a disciple. And they're twofold child of hell because now they're zealous for something that's false, an untruth. Doubly lost. Yeah. And zealous. And he condemns them. So he cursed them. Now, I'm going to say something about this, and believe it or not, we're getting close to being done. We said in our first point that they were keeping people out of heaven. It's sort of a similar point whenever we come here, because we can almost see this in agnostic atheism, which is a, you know, what somebody who is an atheist, they would have to say that I'm an agnostic atheist. And here's Gnosis means no. So if somebody is a Gnostic, you know, the implication is there is to know. An agnostic, you put A in front of it, is to not know. So in other words, an agnostic atheist is somebody who says, I know we exist, but we don't really know. Nobody can know how. And they don't believe in God. They're an atheist. A means no. Theo means God. Atheist. So they do not know, and they do not believe there is a God. Agnostic atheism. And this permeates society, as we said just a little while ago, where we have a world that is heading in one particular direction, and whereas God has given us the fundamental truths about Himself, and God says, listen, the world is going in reverse, and I want you to learn to go forward in a world that's going in reverse. By understanding false teaching and false teachers and false religion, and not just understanding false religion, which is what Jesus is dealing with directly, but also the world itself, so that you can identify it in this world, so that you can make sure that you're going forward according to the truth. Now, how do we know? Well, we go to the Word of God. Listen, this friend, this is how we know. It's right here. We go to the Word of God whenever we want to know what the truth is. We can't trust in this world. And this world's going the wrong way. We trust in the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, the proper teaching of the Word of God. And it's what makes us right and on the right path. And we ought to be thankful. And this morning, if you're here this morning and you're thankful for this church, and you're thankful for the teaching, and you're thankful for the Word of God, you know what you ought to be thankful for? You ought to be thankful that you know of a place that's a door opener and not a door closer. Because Jesus is talking about the door closers. The ones keeping people out of heaven. Giving the truth of the Word of God. We ought to say, you know what? I am thankful for this place. I'm thankful for a place that's a door opener for me. And I want to give you a statement. You can mark this if you want to. The world leads people away from God. The world leads people away from God. So, and this is going to be true in all of our lessons, but particularly in this one. The world is leading people away from God. Here's what you'll find. When you get out of church and you get out of your Bible and you get out of good influence in your life, And you go into the world. Now here's what you'll find. The further from God you get. The further from God you get. And you know it because you feel it. You're like, man, I am not close to God. Because when you get in sort of the flow of the world and you get away from the things of God, you're not going forward. You're going backwards. And God is going that way and you're going that way. You're not getting closer to God. And the world always leads away from God. And that statement is what I want you to remember. Because it's a warning. Now, if you were the world, then I would need to address you like Jesus did. Woe unto you! You know, but I'm not... Listen, the woe isn't to you. The woe is to this world. The woe is to the false teachers out there. And so we need to be able to identify it. And the disciples are here and they're able to identify this false teaching. Why? So we can go forward. So we can go the way that God wants us to go. And this morning, be thankful. This morning, be thankful for a place that gives us the truth, gives us the Word, a door opener and not a door closer. Father, this morning,